Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady. You guys, welcome to episode whatever this is of Dunzo. It is me, Troy McEady, and this is huge. I am so excited for this episode today. First of all, you guys have been requesting this episode since the start of the podcast, so like, this is going to be very major. And also, I'm joined by easily one of my favorite people on the internet, by far. I'm joined by Kai from The Real Housewives Orders. How are you?
I'm great. You're so kind, because I feel that way about you. Like, when you invited me, I was like, me? Like, me? Come on to Dunzo? Like,
are you kidding?
What did I do to deserve this? How did I scam my way onto your platform?
Like, you scammed your way by literally having my favorite Instagram account in the history of the internet. I'm not kidding. Like, it's honestly sick how, like, my algorithm knows now that I don't miss one of your posts. So it's like, if you post something, it's on my feed within 1 second.
I love that.
It's everything.
So good to hear. Because I'm always like, oh, the algorithm hates me. But as long as you're seeing my shit, I really don't care who else does.
Well, for people who don't know, I can't imagine many people listening to this don't know your Instagram account. But tell the people what your Instagram consists of.
So basically, it's about a circus. Just kidding. If you know, you know. But it's called The Real Housewives Orders. And basically, I just post clips of Real Housewives ordering at restaurants, grocery stores, a bar, a party, wherever. And yeah, that's really the basis of it. Just anything food and housewives related is my kink.
It is. It's so simple, but also so fucking brilliant, because I've said for years that the thing people don't realize is that The Real Housewives doesn't actually revolve around drama. It revolves around them finding restaurants to film at. That's the show. It is going to restaurants, going to bars, going to make cupcakes, going to make calzones, going to try teas. I mean, it's like, you know, they just go places and eat and drink stuff.
Everything is centered around that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with the idea to like really lean in and explore that?
Well, I've been like a Real Housewives fan forever, it feels like. So probably like 2 years ago, I was getting kind of like bored, especially of Beverly Hills and OC. Like, those are the like bottom of the barrel for me right now.
Right.
So to kind of keep my interest up, I was like, okay, like, what are the dolls eating? What are they ordering? Like, again, the like California franchises kind of aren't great with orders, because it's very like, I need a plain chicken breast boiled and steamed, nothing else, some brown rice, vegetables, no sauce, like very, very plain. But yeah, so I just got into it like that. And then last season on Atlanta, Eva, the diva, was like ordering up a storm, like getting like $100 worth of sushi and stuff. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
no one's talking about this in like one dedicated spot. There would be like a Reddit thread here being like, oh, Bethany's like so crazy ordering for everyone, love her type thing.
Right.
Or like the Jersey girls, they eat so well. But there was no place where like everyone was just talking about that. So
right.
I was like, okay, it's time to start this up. And I started, I think, in December 2019, which was a great time, because then like 4 months later, the world stopped.
Yeah.
And people started really discovering the page then and being like, oh, I didn't realize how much I love watching them do this until I saw this, or yeah, whatever.
It is very, yeah, that energy. It's very like, oh, I didn't realize that this was like a thing that actually is like a really big part of the show, or like maybe the reason, or like not only a big part of the show, but also like sort of determines whether I like or don't like someone, honestly. It really, really does. Like, do you have anybody that you like, do you have a most favorite orderer and a least favorite orderer?
orderer. I know it's so weird to say. Well, I'm going to have to say Heather Dubrow is probably both my favorite and my least favorite. Like, you know, I have a full day dedicated to her every Friday. Yeah. I do Fancy Pants Friday, and that's been going on for over a year now. So it would feel wrong to not give her some sort of credit for being a complete monster with a menu. Yes. Like, Heather is someone who sees a menu not as something to order from, but like, oh, this is an ingredient listing and I can pick and choose like whatever I want.
It's a project.
And I also live for Candy because she just always orders fish tacos.
Yes.
Literally from like season two on, it's just fish tacos all the time. And I love a consistent queen, so.
Yes, yes. Candy, and I mean, Atlanta, the ordering in Atlanta is just on another level. It is, because it's like, first of all, it's fun to see like when they go to different restaurants, what they offer. You know, and Atlanta is one of the only cities where they're really like, no, like, let's really explore the menu. Like, you never know what they'll get, except for Candy, like you said, consistency, which is iconic.
Yeah, and like, I find with Atlanta too, they're not like scared to eat on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Where I know, like, especially like OC back in like the Vicky era, it was like known Vicky refuses to eat on camera. So like, you're bound to get nothing except like a salad, because you can kind of, I guess, put that in your mouth in a cute way.
You can be cute about the lettuce or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just like shoveling everything in. I don't know.
Yeah, and like, God forbid fucking Tamra is ordering something. My God. God forbid Tamra's in the midst of a bodybuilding competition, because my God. And then the camera loves to, you know, they love to edit in like a really long Tamra ordering, or like Teresa during her whole like, you know, bringing broccoli in her purse game.
Let me just pull out this giant cooler, slams it on the table. Like, yeah. Just stay home, babe. It's
just
okay.
Just stay home. Or like, go get tea or something. Why'd you guys go out to dinner? What was the point? Right. Well, yeah. And Fancy Pants Friday is a holiday for me. I have a weekly holiday, and it is truly Fancy Pants Friday. Because you
knowing it gives you so much joy is what keeps me like every Thursday night being like, oh shit, I need to do something for Friday. Like, I can't disappoint. Because so many people, like, besides you, look forward to it as well. I didn't really think it would be that big of a thing, because like, most people don't really like Heather, especially kind of after her exit. But I guess she's had a like resurgence with COVID Dodd being a monster, but that's like a completely different subject. But yeah.
Well, you guys, if you don't follow Real Housewives Orders, like, what are you should already have by this point you should already have clicked follow.
I love you. Best. Wait, can I ask you who your favorite orderer is?
I know. I think I've told you before that I actually really like watching Bethany order for the group, because that adds another, you don't really see many housewives order for other housewives, and I think that adds a really
interesting. And get it right.
Yeah, she always gets it right, which is crazy, because they're all so specific. Like, even her ordering Ramona's like lukewarm tap water and her weird cocktail and all of that stuff.
Glass of ice on the side with a straw.
Yes.
All these hoops. Yeah.
Yes.
It's funny because I'm not a big Bethany fan outside of her ordering, but her ordering is like, you know, like top tier, especially for my Instagram. But like,
totally.
Real Bethany, I'm like, ooh, get the fuck out of here. Like, am I allowed to swear?
Are you kidding?
Have I sweared already?
Are you kidding? One of my most recent reviews is that I say cunt too much. So you can say whatever you want.
Oh. Perfect.
Yeah, I will say that my least favorite person to watch order has always been Adrian. Adrian Maloof is just joyless to me. I mean, it's literally joyless, it's humorless, it is nothing.
I don't want to be offensive or anything, but she literally, I don't think, eats. Like, she is someone who survives off of like maybe like a like Isagenics shake, and that's it. Like, I don't even know if Isagenics is a thing anymore, but you know what I mean? Like, she does not eat real solid food unless it's like green.
Totally. She's very like slim fast is still working for me. She's very like that girl.
Yes, absolutely. You know what
I mean? As she like twines her tinsel extensions through her fingers while she sips a chocolate slim fast.
Which, like, honestly, I wish I could get a set of like tinsel extensions installed at my head at this point. In 2021, I'm like, they're kind of cute. Like, well, I have such short hair, like the fuse would really just show like instantly.
Well, we are here today to talk about a very specific thruple. I'm so excited for this. So we're talking about Brandy and Eddie and Leanne today. And I haven't thought about this in a while because I feel like it's one of those things that has like an ebb and flow in the media. Like, you know, randomly they'll be at a soccer game together or something. And you're like, oh yeah, that's like a thing. Mm-hmm. But I guess like, so have you always not liked Beverly Hills, or did you've recently?
Oh, I used to love Beverly Hills. Okay. I'd say after like Erica came, it really started, you know, going downhill, and the girls were all really protective of each other. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm someone who loves like a dark storyline, like Taylor Armstrong, all of that, while it was really morbid and mm-hmm. exploited the shit out of her, like that kind of stuff. I'm like, this is what I want to see on reality TV. Yeah. So like, I have a thing for dark storylines, and then it kind of just like moved away from that and was like about panties, which I hate that word, and puppies, and just stuff that's like very surface. And yeah, it just kind of lost its touch for me.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. Like, it, I've always said that the beginning of the show felt more like almost like a docuseries. Mm-hmm. Like, it almost wasn't even reality. It was like some fucking A&E shit, you know?
And I miss like the girls having their own individual storylines. Like, mm-hmm. I miss that. I feel like now it's so just like, we're meeting up for a group event, so something bad can happen. Then we're going to just like talk about that for the rest of the season. Instead of like, you know, like season one, season two, they're just like bopping around doing nothing. Yep. But I miss that.
Well, because that was the stuff that helped you determine if you really connected to somebody. I think people have a harder time now even knowing whether or not they like Housewives. There's so much debate on whether or not, like, do I like her or do I hate her? It's because we don't know anything about them anymore. We don't see their lives. We don't see what they're like as parents. We don't see what they're like in their houses, just, like, cleaning. You know, like, the Gina Keough of it all, like, using fucking OxyClean on the island every day. Like, that was my gig. You know what I mean?
Such a deep cut. I love it.
I miss that. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that it's a toss-up. For me, it's a toss-up between Dorit and Erica as far as the sort of vapidness of Beverly Hills. And now it's just like a full show. I mean, it is completely empty and void of all emotion.
It's so true. And like, I don't know if it's because everything, like, I'm using air quotes, leaks to the blogs and stuff mm-hmm. ahead of time, but I'm just kind of like bored by the time it even airs. Because I'm like, yeah, like, sure, Brandy and Denise fucked. Like, that's cool. But I knew about that last winter, and like, I kept it pushing because, like, get yours. Like, do what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, why are we having like a whole season revolve around like the taboo
She's
nature
a liar.
Of it? Yeah. It's like, first of all, is it really so far out of the realm to think that Denise Richards is hooked up with a girl? Are you fucking kidding? Like, what? The woman was married to Charlie Sheen. Like, what are you talking about?
Make it make sense.
Like, make it make sense.
This like Saint Denise image that was painted, I was like, when has this ever, like, I've always been into pop culture as like a young little boy when I probably mm-hmm. shouldn't have been, but right. like Denise has never been, you know, like holier than thou. Like, she's always been kind of like a wild girl, or image painted, at least.
Totally. She was best friends with Heidi Fleiss, and you guys are freaking out that she fucking kissed a girl. Sis, get a grip.
She's done much, much more.
Yeah, like, she's lived for all of us. Well, okay, so what was your initial response to Brandy Glanville on your screen? Like, were you a Brandy stan at the beginning, or did you not like her?
I was a Brandy stan, but I feel like Brandy is kind of like one of the last people who made their way onto reality TV that maybe shouldn't have. Like, she just gives me like late 2000s, early 2010s kind of reality character. And like, mm-hmm. I messaged you earlier about how I love Pretty Wild, and she just kind of like reminds me of that, like that party girl.
Yeah.
Really unhinged, probably didn't pass the psych check or whatever you need to do to get on TV, but they somehow let her kind of float her way through. So when she first came on, I was like, oh, I like this girl. She's relatable because she, you know, she's getting wasted and stumbling out of bars like me at 19 was doing. Granted, right. She was much older and a mother, but like, right. Do we want to do, huh? So I liked her. I thought she was cool. And like, it was funny when she first came on the show, I was like, oh, she's so broke and poor. Like, who is this woman? But when I think about it now, Taylor Armstrong and Kim probably were in like a very similar financial situation to Brandy. Like, I feel like they always painted her as like this like poor single mother. And like, I don't think she really was. But yeah, I was a Brandy stan. What about you?
Oh, I was a Brandy stan. I thought the show was, I felt like she was so necessary for the show because they were all so, you know, it's like you said earlier, it's weird because they were all, they were going through so much real shit, you know, like the Richard sisters and Taylor Armstrong's like crazy shit with Russell and just all of it. Like, it was such a messy time for that show, but they also were also full of shit.
Yes.
Right. So then Brandy showed up and she was like, oh, you guys are all completely full of shit and you're on camera and you're trying to not look like you're full of shit and I'm going to expose all of you. And I just thought that element of it was so fun. And I agree.
Julie had nothing to lose at that point either. Like, we didn't know who she was outside of the show.
Totally. She really only had everything to gain. She was like, I'm about to come in here and fucking rodeo this shit and become the lead of the show. Like,
yeah.
And like you said earlier, you know, she, they painted her as this like, you know, poor, you know, like sad woman, but it's like, they really just set her up to be the underdog of the show. And the viewer loves the underdog.
Always.
You know, totally backfired. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Extensions weren't that bad in season two either. They were bad, but she still wasn't doing what she's doing now. So for that, I'll always miss a season two Brandy.
Yeah, season two Brandy was just, she was chef's kiss. She was the perfect amount of a mess, but not so much that you were like, ooh, eek. Like, somebody take her into a bathroom and like put a cold towel on her forehead. Like, Jesus.
Right. And like, is she the first housewife to transition from like friend of to official wife? Like, was she the first person to ever do that?
I feel like she may have been.
Because if so, like, not everyone has that. Go Brandy.
It's iconic. And it's funny, like, the thing that you said about her being like sort of a late 2000s reality star, because that's so specific. It's a very specific kind of like, you missed the boat on a certain era of reality TV.
Yes.
You're right at the forefront of a new era, but like, that won't even last.
Spot on. That is what I was trying to say, like, but eloquently put. I love it. Because it's true. Because like, imagine casting like her now. She wouldn't fit in anywhere. Like, she just, it wouldn't be a thing. And like, imagine her trying to be on like a like VH1 show. That wouldn't have been a thing either, because she would have been too prim and proper D-list celebrity. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I always had a theory, speaking of Heather Dubrow, that Brandy and Heather should have like swapped. Right?
I love that.
Because Brandy only makes sense like being on drunk OC with Tamara and like sucking her boobs or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And like, they wouldn't have thought that Heather was like fancy.
I'm just like sitting here with my mouth open.
Do you get what I mean?
What would that universe look like? I want to see that. I wish I had lived through that.
Yeah, like in Beverly Hills, Heather would have just been like one of the girls.
Yeah, and I feel like she would have been like one of the more crazy girls too.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot. Right. Heather is pretty prim and proper, but like, she loves like a black mesh dress moment, which like, I think would, you know, make Kyle and LVP be like, oh,
yes,
my gosh, like too much skin. Oh,
and
my god,
an edgy Chanel moment with her like Karl Lagerfeld gloves or something.
Spot on. Yes.
Were you a Leanne Rimes fan growing up?
No. I knew who she was just from like Can't Fight the Moonlight. What was her other single? What's the Leanne Rimes song?
Oh my god. Okay, can't fret the what is it? It's like a remake.
I'm Googling it right now.
Yeah, though I remember it because she like, it was a big thing that she performed it. Her and Trisha Yearwood both took that song as a remake and then they released it at the same time, not knowing. And they performed it at the same award show, not knowing that they both were singing.
Oh, so you know like so much more than I do. That's next level.
God. I know. God, why can't I think of the fucking song?
The Bill Mack song Blue?
Oh, wait, yes. I remember that one. That was like the Yoda one.
How Do I Live?
How Do I Live?
Is the song I'm thinking of.
Yes.
I guess that's like how I know her. And I feel like she's like kind of like that like child star who had everything taken from them by their like really greedy parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be blending her with anyone
else. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. How Do I Live is so, she's such like a VH1 star to me. Yes. Adult contemporary, like, you know, on very at bad. like 12 p.m. in the middle of like at your like in your aunt's like kitchen or something, like the kitchen TV is playing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this like wild, I mean, this is so crazy because this story for a short period of time was like you couldn't avoid it. Like you could not avoid the Eddie Brandy Leanne story. It was huge. And I feel like every day that was like more, it, I guess because Brandy was involved, but it was like, we really followed like the custody and the money and who's going to the soccer game this week. And oh my God, Brandy and Leanne like handed each other a Capri Sun at the basketball game or whatever, you know?
Brandy's hanging out with Dean, who's like Leanne's ex. Don't ask me how I remember his name, but you know what I mean? Like it really was everywhere. Like it, especially because at that time, like for me at least, I was like, these people are nobodies. Like I knew Eddie maybe from like, what's the movie he's in? But I'm a Cheerleader.
Oh, maybe? But I'm a Cheerleader.
Is he in that?
I think
so. And like a young gay me was like, oh, what a hottie in a crop top. But like, other than that, I didn't really know who these people were for them to be on like Us Weekly every day and like Access Online and like everything mm-hmm. that I was into, they were there.
Yeah, they were everywhere. And this was a real like, you know, I do think that there's something to be said about the celebrity, especially the reality star who makes their relationship, like the relationship trials and tribulations, their career, sort of like a Kendra Wilkinson kind of gig.
Icon.
Right, where you're like, oh,
former
so
icon.
Yeah, former icon.
I don't know where she is now, so I can't speak to that.
Queen of rolling her, of body rolling. But like, yeah. That is such a specific career to be like, now I'm the messy divorcee girl that just will do any reality show that I can get my hands on.
Mm-hmm. Who will book me? I will sign the contract.
Yeah. Like, when are they filming Celebrity Big Brother again? Like, please. So we know that this all sort of started, obviously, before the show aired, Brandy was married to Eddie. And that was her whole sort of, like, introduction, was that she was this, like, new single mom. She was in this really, I mean, I feel like they tried to make it seem like it was like some Hollywood, some glamorous relationship. And it was like, come on, like you were married to Eddie Cibri. I'm like, girl.
They tried to make it like a Kelsey and Camille, but it was like, no, baby. Like Eddie has never had, I hate Kelsey Grammer, but like he's never had a show like whatever Kelsey was on. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's not that girl.
Totally. Yeah, but so then that was like her whole intro was that she was like this new, you know, like you said earlier, she didn't have a lot of money and she was sort of like downtrodden and like trying to figure out her life and like, who am I? I'm just trying to keep my head above water. And I do definitely think it's like, obviously Brandy was so polarizing and she was so sort of like pearl clenching for TV at the time. But I do think her story really resonated with people, whether they wanted it to or not. Like, it was almost like you couldn't deny Brandy.
Mm-hmm. And they still talked about her being a mom at that point. I found when they stopped mentioning that at all in the show is when she kind of lost, like, any likability. Because it was just like, what is this person doing?
Mm-hmm. Like, what is the housewife part of her life? We don't know anything about her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Except that she like will randomly like fuck like a 19-year-old waiter and then brag about it for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Which I love.
I can't say shit.
Yeah, like, get yours, girl.
She was always super sex positive, which for all forever, mm-hmm. appreciate in her, especially around those women who are so, like you said, like clutching their pearls, like, oh my God, the C word? No.
Right. Yeah, she was always so sex positive and so like everything positive. She was like, if you want to do drugs or whatever, just like if you want to go to Amsterdam and actually smoke weed and not act like you don't. It was just so like, we really needed Brandy in a lot of those moments, especially when she would be like, Kyle, you smoke with Maurizio.
Like, we literally just smoked outside together. Like,
right. Like,
what are you talking about?
Girl, like, come on. But yeah, so they got married in 2001 and they had a Hollywood romance. And then rumors started to surface in 2009 that Eddie was having an affair with Leanne Rimes because they had met on the set of their Lifetime movie, Northern Lights.
Which, have you ever seen that?
No, I just realized I never have.
I'm going to have to watch it maybe next Christmas. I feel like it's a holiday flick.
Yeah. Well, we should do a live stream of us watching Northern Lights together.
Sign me up. I'm there. Yeah. Done.
And then I guess, yeah, the craziest thing, and I'm happy that you reminded me, was like, okay, so in July, Brandy and Eddie announced that they were separating. And then in August, Leanne and Eddie, like, went public with their relationship, and she immediately, like, not even a month later, filed for divorce. So, like, they were fucking while they were both married. And the way that it all played out was, like, there was no denying it. It's so messy.
And if I remember correctly, I want to say there was, like, kissing pictures that were like leaked to the like tabloids or something. I again could be making this or like mixing this up with like any late 2000 kind of like cheating scandal, but yes. I feel like there was like sexy pictures of Leanne and Eddie like that weren't on set type thing,
right? Yes.
And I feel like that's how I found out about it or something. Like there was I don't know.
The scandal.
I think they were here in Canada. Like, I want to say they're in, like, BC, and it was like, oh, my God, like, he's out of the country and, like,
yeah,
someone else. Like,
you know what? Actually, now that you said that, when you said that they were in Canada, I don't know if my brain may be confusing it with, like, Tori and Dean.
Yes, maybe, but, like, that's who feels, I'm...
because it's very similar.
Uh-huh. But whenever I watched True Tory, I was like, I feel like they're just Jackie and Brandy's storyline, but like amping it up 10 times more.
Yes.
But I think you actually might be right. I think I just misspoke about all of that. And that's just literally Tory and Dean.
Well, no, you could still be right though. I mean, like their whole thing was so similar, even the way that it played out. Like I still get a lot of that stuff confused where I'm like, oh no, that was Brandy. That wasn't Tory. Jesus.
Interchangeable though, now that I think about it, like Tori and Brandy, yeah,
totally. I'm sorry, now I'm like, my brain is thinking of Tori. I just have to say very quickly that one of my favorite, did you watch True Tori, right? The whole thing.
Duh.
That show is
so sad.
It lives like right at the forefront of my brain. Like it lives right here. I'm always this close to thinking about it.
I'm the same as you, but instead of thinking about it, it's Googling where I can watch it in Canada. Like about every month I check this thing called Watch Series or something, or like where can I watch in Canada? And I always am trying to find True Tory, but like yeah. Lifetime programs don't really want to be streamable here. So it's probably fine that I don't revisit it because like, yeah. I don't need to. Like the first three times I watched it were in.
The memory of Tori like at the therapist's office and like telling the therapist that Dean wants to do anal but she doesn't want to do it because she doesn't want to give him that right now.
He doesn't deserve that from me right now. She wasn't wrong.
She wasn't wrong. This is insane.
Okay, I actually need to go revisit that. Right. It's time.
It's been enough weeks.
For sure.
So yeah, so then in September, they sort of were all back-to-back, like, announcing that they were going to be separating. Like, every week, they were like, well, we're separating. We're separating, too. We're filing for divorce. Us, too. We've officially separated. We have, too. It's like, they were, like, trying to logistically do it in a way that didn't make them look bad. But it was like, you guys are doing this back-to-back throughout, like, the month? Like, come on. We all know.
We know what's happening.
Yeah, like, we're fully aware of what is happening right now behind the scenes. You guys, this week's episode is sponsored by Helix, and I want to personally thank them for introducing me to true REM sleep. You know what's fun? Falling asleep at a decent hour because you look forward to laying in your bed on account of you ain't never had a bed so comfortable that draws you back when you walk away. You know what else is fun? Sleeping through the night and not waking up 37 times because you're uncomfortable and hot. Helix is a sleep quiz that takes about 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress made just for you. Helix is also very aware of the fact that it makes no sense to spend money on a mattress made for some random person. With Helix, you're getting a mattress you can guarantee will be perfect for your body, and for that, we can't help but to stand. Helix understands that every person is unique, so they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. They have mattresses that are great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. And they have Helix Plus for the plus size folks. I took the Helix quiz and got matched with the Helix Plus, which I thank the universe for every day. It's nice and firm, but I also sink into it like an angel on a cloud after a misty rainstorm. I'll forever be grateful to Helix for introducing me to the idea that I'm not a bad sleeper, I just buy crappy beds. So if you're in the market for a mattress, go ahead and take the quiz, order the mattress you're matched to, and it comes right to your door, shipped for free, and you'll never have to go to a mattress store again. Helix is awesome, but you do not have to take my word for it. It was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine. Go to helixsleep.com/dunzo, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life, honey, I promise you. They have a 10-year warranty and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up if you don't like it, but I can guarantee you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/dunzo. So then in 2010, Leanne's divorce was finalized, and that was when she made her first like public statement of like, I take responsibility, this was wrong. You know, I hate that we hurt people, but I don't regret the outcome because we're so in love. And it's like you've known each other for a month.
Okay.
But like the biggest twist of this to me was that for Leanne Rimes to not be a reality star, the way that she leaned into this story to keep her career going was insane to me.
Fame whore.
Yeah.
And like I say that as like in a term of endearment, like again that era of kind of just like everyone being a fame whore I live for. But it was so unexpected again because like I only really knew her as like a like button up like country singer.
Totally.
Like kind of all American girl. I have no idea. But then it like came out that she's like a mistress and cheating and like I don't know, everything was just about her and her life, whereas before we didn't really hear anything about her. It was just like Grammy award winning singer Leanne Rimes.
Yeah, I mean
like released an album that's flopped and that was it.
And like she was like all of a sudden going out and like purposely being photographed and like, you know, calling the paparazzi to meet her and Eddie at some fucking, you know, outdoor fair.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Like, did she lose like a ton of weight? Again, this could be like Tori, but I feel like Leanne was probably just like a normal person size. Mm-hmm. But like I remember there was a point when she was like emaciated, like super skinny and like on the beach, like posing in a bikini, but it's like candid type thing. I feel like that's when I really noticed the kind of like shift in her career, when it was like string bikini on the beach. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is what we're doing now.
Yeah, I remember definitely remember that being like a huge topic of conversation, like that she had gotten so skinny. And yeah, I mean, she fell right into like that tabloidy, like you said, like that 2010 kind of like, you know, the last years of tabloids, really, of like print tabloids. They were such tabloid stars and just so like desperate. And like the Eddie Cibrian of it all, it was just like, Eddie, ugh, this is so weird.
I was on his Instagram this morning because I was just like, is he hot? Like,
right.
He's not. He's just like a white guy. And like, as a white guy, like, I feel like I can just say like, he's just so basic looking. Like,
extremely. He's like,
what do people see in him?
He's like, to me, he's like that guy that like is truly like a human blow-up doll.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying by that?
Yes.
Like, he just is a sex object in a sense, and like, yeah, that's his whole gig, and he like knows.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Is that like what a himbo would be? I feel like I'm not young and hip enough to actually use that.
Yes, he is a himbo for sure. He's like, no, I'm just hot. Stop trying to make me anything more than just hot. I don't really talk or anything.
Oh, no, we don't need to hear that.
Yeah. Is that what a himbo is? It's my favorite thing ever. And then this was also a huge element of this relationship, is that they kept, like, Brandy and Leanne would have these ignited, you know, maybe 3 or 4 month, like, the feud is on. It was like Brandy versus Leanne. Like, Leanne says she's a slut. Brandy says she's a whore. And then randomly one day Brandy would be like, we're making amends, and we'd like to publicly announce that we are friends. We're making amends.
We are co-parenting.
Yes. Yes.
We love each other. We are just a blended family now. And then it's like a week later, done. And it's like, fuck Leanne. She's wearing my purse. She's such a fucking copycat. I hate her.
Right. It would be like a picture of them like dragging like an igloo cooler to the, you know, the soccer game together and smiling for the paps. And then, yeah.
I wonder who called. Like, do you think it was Brandy's team or Leanne's team? Or do you think they were working together? Just because, like, what I know now about, like, paparazzi and stuff, I obviously didn't know then.
Totally.
But I'm like, I wonder who orchestrated all of this. Like, I'd love to know, like, the, like, PR behind all of this. Like, were they working together? Like,
you know, I like to think that they were working together. And I like to think that a lot of the time when they were publicly fighting, I think that it was made up.
Just for a check.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay.
The first time that they publicly announced that they were going to be friends was in March of 2000. By the way, I'm just reading all of this from Starcasm, because this is one of those couples. This is like a How the Sausage Is Made moment for this podcast. I love couples like this that did live in the tabloids for a long time, because if I Google like Brandy Glanville, Leanne Rimes, Eddie Cibrian relationship timeline, there are 4,000 websites that are just every single thing, because they lived so publicly.
Simpler times.
I know. I miss print media. So in 2011, this is from March, Brandy announced on Twitter that she was ending her public feud and that she was no longer upset with Leanne or Eddie. And she said, as a collective unit, Brandy and I, or no, was this? It says Brandy announced. This is why you don't fucking read Starcasm. I'm just gonna read it. As a collective unit, Brandy and I would like all negativity to cease towards one another. We have communicated and have a direct understanding that we are only ourselves on Twitter and have no other accounts to try and destroy each other. Please, for our family's sake, stop the hate now and let us live our lives. We don't need opinions or outside help in order to make that happen. Oh, and then Brandy retweeted Leanne's message.
Oh, I was going to say, that's quite poised for a Brandy tweet, but yeah. I wasn't following her in 2011, so I'm not sure.
There's no curse words.
Or like spelling errors or weird like spacing issues. Hey, wait, can I rewind a bit? When was the Sheena of this all? Because I feel like now that we're talking about this, like my brain is opening parts of my mind I haven't thought about in a really long time. Right. And I remember watching Sheena on TV on like Access Hollywood or something, maybe ET Canada? I don't know, but Sheena was there in her like original form. So is she pre-Leanne? Or is she just kind of like, how can I get a quick buck off of like all this mess?
I think it was a little bit of both of that, because I remember the first season of Vanderpump Rules like relied on that story. Like that was like
Brandy is the reason Vanderpump Rules exists.
Totally. And Sheena, which is like, you know, it's so sad because she like doesn't get any. Sheena's literally the jester of the show. She's the juggling fool of Vanderpump Rules, but like was very much the whole, you know, she was the whole show at the beginning. But yeah, that was also so fucking weird when she was like, yeah, like your husband just fucked a lot of people. And like, I was just one of them. It didn't mean anything. He literally just fucked me on a boat. Sorry, girl.
I'm picturing those pictures of them on the boat now.
So. Right? Yeah. With Sheena's like to her knees extensions.
Aw, I miss that Sheena.
Me too.
Starfucker Sheena. I delisted, used to call her Starfucker.
So ugh.
I can't take any credit for that, but I miss that girl.
Me too. That was before Sheena realized how much she loved the Kardashians and everything changed, you know? It's like real Sheena. But yeah, so then they were doing that thing where they were going to birthday parties and stuff together. And I'm looking at a photo right now of them like sitting at one of the soccer games in their fold-out chairs and like clapping together, like pointed towards the fucking Paps. Like, it's so embarrassing.
That's the first picture that comes up for me when I Google them together.
Right? It's like these completely staged photos. And then I don't know if you remember this or not. This is a real deep cut. But there was the whole moment, too, of like Brandy was claiming that Leanne was copying her social media posts.
Yeah, I used to really be big into like fame whorgas, and I think it was called Stupid Housewives, but two O's instead of the U in stupid. And that was like very like 2011, like reporting about just like the like kind of like behind the scenes scams that were going on, like, you know, like Lynn Curtin being a grifter and stuff like that.
Right.
And they always talked about how Brandy would wear something and like within like a week or a month, Leanne would be photographed in like the same wedge and the same purse.
Right.
So Brandy was like, I don't know if she was selling these stories or she truly was paranoid, but like it felt like Leanne was copying Brandy's style. I don't think Brandy has a style, but
right,
for lack of a better word.
Right. It's just, it's so weird though, because it's like when you read, like, for example, the next thing on this timeline is about how Brandy started claiming that they were sending her harassing emails under like fake email names. And it's like, there's a part of, I think, every person that thinks like, wow, is Brandy just like in her house full, like mommy dearest, not abusing her kids, but just like deranged, like just drunk and deranged.
Well, have you ever seen her cameos?
Oh, God.
I think you've answered your question.
I think I did. Oh, my God. The cameos. My Lord.
Although I feel like a now Brandy has been, like, jaded and faded by, like, fame, reality TV fame. So I think back then she wasn't as mommy dearest-esque, hopefully.
I mean, I did watch her on the live feeds on Big Brother.
And what was that like?
It was exactly what you would expect. It was her like getting wine drunk every night. And like in the day, everybody really liking Brandy because she was like really sweet and she liked to cook and whatever. And then like at like 6, she would have a glass of wine and she was fun Brandy. And then like 7, you know, 7:45, she's had a bottle.
And literally me and why I stopped drinking.
She's like starting to ask inappropriate questions and like tugging at people's hair and just getting more, you know, like getting weird. And then by like 10 p.m. she was like spread
downright disrespectful.
Yeah, horrible, saying terrible shit to people, like showing her boobs to the camera, just like, you know, it was every night too. Yeah, you know, it's like
there's like a sadness within her that makes me feel sad. Like,
yeah,
I feel like she doesn't know who she is still. Like, I feel like she's never found who she was. But
I agree with that.
Too, of like an analytical approach, considering like I don't.
I think you're right though. I think you're completely right. I think that she doesn't know who she is, and I also think people don't take into account that Brandy was like, Brandy's introduction to fame was as a really young model, and she was like one of those, like, we're going to Diddy's yacht models.
Okay, can you talk this out with me a little bit? Like, this, like, modeling career she had. Like,
okay.
I was reading that on her wiki earlier. And I remember when she was on the show, and I kind of feel like this is, like, a classic Beverly Hills storyline. Like, back in the 90s, I was a model. I was a print model. I moved to Paris. But, like, was this a real job for her? Like, you know, like, speak this modeling career to me. Because, like, I've never seen, like, I've obviously seen the pictures she's posted of herself
right.
that just look like classic headshots. Like, a Danielle Staub being like, look at this headshot. I was in The Sopranos. And you're like, no, you weren't, babe. But like, you know what I mean? Like, what was this career? Like,
yeah.
How do you survive as a model? And I guess I just know nothing about it.
What I would guess is that Brandy was one of those really beautiful women who was invited places to be arm candy and to be seen and to just make parties look fun.
Okay.
You know, like, I think that her and Chris and Takeman were like road dogs in that way, where they were young and hot and, you know, they'd be invited to celebrities' parties without people even knowing them because they were just models that were
blondes.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, okay. You know, and they were both like a really good time. And I don't think, yeah, I think model is almost like a term to describe being hot and being photographed at that time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
In my head too, I'm like, does this mean just like sex worker? Like, what are we doing here? Cause like now in like 2021, I feel like the girls who are like, oh, I'm an Instagram model, that's just like code for like, you know, I'm like
right.
a high priced call girl now. With yeah. no shame, get it. I wish I could do that. But you know what totally. I mean? Like, so is that like the equivalent is kind of, I guess, what I meant by that. But yeah, I'm just like always thrown off when they're like, I worked for Chanel in the 90s. I'm like, did you? Like,
right. Did you wear Chanel in the 90s or did you work for Chanel in the
90s? Yeah, like at the mall? Like what? Where?
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I, because of like, I love a blind item moment, I just refer to those people as like yacht girls.
I was about to say that and then I was like, do people know what that means?
But oh,
I
yeah.
I should like know my audience. I listen to you. I'm always like amazed by just your mind. So like,
oh yeah, I mean, they're like, it's a nice way to describe a whole plethora of jobs, right?
Sexy careers.
Yes, sexy careers. Yes. Oh my god, that's what I'm, when somebody asks me what I do, I'm gonna be like, I have a plethora of jobs, mostly sexy careers.
I love it. I'll endorse you on LinkedIn for that.
Yeah. I endorse fat, flat tummy. But yeah, so Brandy like sent this these public tweets accusing Eddie of sending her spam harassment emails. And she goes, why are you sending me harassing emails when I am doing everything I can to work around your schedule? Fucking stop. She's like, babe, I get it. The only way he leaves me alone privately is if I take it public. It sucks, but I'm sorry, I had to do it. And then she posted that with a photo of her popping her butt out on the beach. That's insane.
I popped my butt.
And yeah, and it's just like, it's a back and forth for years of them going to games together, being friends, and then hating each other. And then Brandy accusing Leanne of trying to turn the children's minds against her. Remember, that was a whole era.
Mm-hmm. And like, don't post pictures of my children. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe she would do that. Like the audacity. And it's like, it's just a picture. Like, but I'm also not a mother. So I could never understand.
She told NWHQ magazine. Oh, it's an Australian magazine. And I was like, what? In May of 2012, that she'd like to kill Leanne. And she said, every mother has those protective mother bear feelings, but I don't really want to kill her. It was a figure of speech. Brandy.
Oh, Brandy, baby. That's something you keep private.
Yeah, like or text that to
her. I could kill her when she does these things. Even that right. sounds really bad.
I want her to die. It's a figure of speech. Okay.
I was wishing her well, I swear.
Oh my god, I remember this too. And then Leanne posted photos after Brandy said she wanted her, she wished that she would die. Leanne posted photos of her at the gun range holding a shotgun on her Instagram. Like, what the fuck?
I thought you were gonna say she posted like a like photo of her on a movie set in like a coffin or something fucking dark.
Oh my god. Just so like, can you imagine being these kids on Instagram looking at your family and new extended family like have these fucking moments?
I like always wonder about these kids, but then I just kind of like pray and hope that it's like Sonia Morgan's daughter, who I feel like is just so removed from Housewives, right, and press and everything, and she actually doesn't know what her mother is like on TV. So I'm hoping that's what it's like for these boys. But
yeah,
I don't get the energy from Brandy that she could just like tweet something and stop talking about it. Like,
mm-hmm,
I feel like it would consume her mind, and like she's on a tangent all night. Like, she's, yes, cooking dinner and like muttering under her breath how much she hates Leanne.
Agreed. Also very Daniel Staub, like at a diner telling her daughters like how much all these women have hurt her.
All these women.
Right. And then I also remember this very vividly when Leanne posted a picture of a birthday cake. At the top of it, it's like a fondant version of her and Eddie in bed together. And then underneath the cake is the two boys sitting in next to them in bed.
What?
Like, what is that?
What the fuck? That's deranged.
That's weird.
Ugh. I like vividly remember being very team Brandy because I was like, Leanne's trash. I'm looking at this cake.
It's uncomfortable, right?
That's unhinged behavior. She's not okay.
It's psychotic. Like, what would you even tell?
They're like smiling too. They're like arms crossed and smiling. Like, look at dad and stepmom in bed.
Oh. Yeah, yes. I can completely understand.
The cake doesn't even look good either.
Oh, it's terrible. I hate a fully fondant cake moment. Ugh.
Agreed. Nasty. There's a Lakers jersey, a Bronco, and a paddleboard.
It's so fucking dark. Maybe, yeah. And like, I forgot about the fact that like Leanne also was giving off very deranged vibes too at this, yes, time, where Brandy was like, no, you guys don't get it. Like, she actually is fucking crazy.
And I think she is.
I think so too.
I don't want to say anything that'll get me in trouble, but I don't think someone who's doing well mentally is doing this kind of shit. Like,
no,
who
totally
advised her that this is a good idea? The nail in the coffin for me. I'm like, yeah, ugh.
It's dark. That's
really
dark. If
you're listening to this, I hope you've Googled this cake and right, are also just like, huh?
Like, what the fuck? She did go to, she went to a rehab facility in 2012 for, in quotes, anxiety.
Ooh, let's speculate. What do you think that was really about?
I mean, Leanne has always given me substance abuse issues vibes. Always, always. I've always felt like, God, those water bottles that they have at those soccer games are not water. And I really felt that in my spirit.
Okay, I love that.
Oh my God, in August of 2012, a teacher, one of the kids' teachers recorded a phone conversation with Leanne after Leanne called her and confronted her about unfollowing her on Twitter. Once the audio was released online, Leanne announces that she is suing the teacher. In part of the clip, she says, the teacher is heard asking Leanne what Brandy has done, and Leanne replies, she's vindictive as fuck. She's vindictive as fucking shit. Don't tell me that's okay. The teacher recorded their conversations and leaked it to the fucking press. God.
Oh, I miss it.
Me too. This stuff doesn't really happen like this anymore.
No, and if it does, I like give it a side eye immediately because I'm like, okay, this is like too like calculated and planned and not
right.
Whereas this is, yeah, giving me like she just one day woke up bored and took a Xanax too many and called the teacher and let loose. The teacher.
The teacher. Yeah, and like because I think what helped, like a big benefit for these people at this time was that the news cycle was so slow. You know, like it took so long to get a story out because you had to like tell a magazine and then the magazine had to print it and then it had to be released and then the person would respond in next week's issue. And, you know, this would not be, yeah, like this would all happen in like less than a month now. And this is years of stuff right, happening.
Yeah, this would happen on like one Instagram story and be over.
Right. I'm trying to get to like, because this is a lot of like back and forth of just like, this person said something really mean about me on Twitter. Oh wait, no, she said something mean about me on Twitter. It's like, you guys are fucking grown adults with kids.
Yeah, how old are they at this point? Do we know?
I don't know. How old was Brandy when she joined the show? Do you remember?
Brandy is someone to me, and I know this will sound really mean, but she could have been 29 and she could have been 55.
I think everybody listening would agree.
She's 48 as of today.
Okay.
So let me do some math here. I need to use a calculator.
This was like 2011-ish.
Right. Okay. So 2011 minus, she would have been around 39. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. 39. I'm turning 30 shortly, and I feel like even I at this point probably would not engage in like foolery like this, but I also am not in the public eye and don't have kids.
That's how I feel.
Need a paycheck.
Right. Like I'm 32 and like I just feel like honestly, I would just be too tired. Like there's no fight in me anymore. If I was
no, like, I'm like completely disengaged from life at this point.
Yeah. Like I used to be
in the best way possible.
I used to be a real like a real rumbler back in the day. Like I would have been all about this shit. I would have been all about the back and forth, mm-hmm. you know, crafting the perfect responses. I would have been living for the theatrics and the production. But now I'm just like, ugh, aren't you too tired? You have two kids. I'm tired. And all I do is work a single job.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, need to cook dinner later. And that's overwhelming for me.
Yeah. Like I wake up thinking about the stress of that.
Uh-huh.
I thought this was really funny. This is a quote from Wendy Williams, of Brandy on the Wendy Williams show in like late 2012, where she said, this is in reference to Leanne. She says, we have our ups and downs. It's difficult because she doesn't understand boundaries. And I wish that she did. I wish she were a little more respectful of tweeting pictures of my kids in their Halloween costumes when I don't get to see them on Halloween. I feel like send me the pictures and let's parent together. That's true.
That's probably one of the most like responsible and like poised things I've ever come out of Brandy's mouth.
Yeah.
Good for her. Okay, you're really making me be like, do I like Brandy again? Like the nostalgia of old Brandy. I'm like, am I stan?
Well, it's like the reminder of like you are a goddamn bitch.
I assume that's what her fan base is called, right?
If not, they are now.
Yeah.
Slut pigs.
Does she have a fan base?
Enough, enough, enough. And then she started like calling like just to be spiteful around this time too, she started calling Brandy's kids her boys. Me and my boys are going to the store. Me and my boys are getting on a flight. Like that shit is very Lifetime movie weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Getting on a flight with my boys, like, girl.
Like, Eddie was like, be more like Brandy, but, like,
right,
except in this department, and then we'll be good. And she's like, yes, like, I will do that, and just became, like, a Brandy bot.
Oh, my God. In December 2012, Brandy told Us Weekly that Leanne had a severe eating disorder and was emotionally unstable, that she carries laxatives in her purse every day, and some of which were accidentally eaten by Brandy's son thinking it was candy, which resulted in him being extremely ill and going to the hospital. Oh my God.
Brandy is messy. I love it.
I don't remember. Like, I don't remember
that. Literally how you like scalp someone, just like that.
Right, seriously. Literally.
So sick because his stepmom had laxative in her bag. How like day class say, oh my God.
With him being a child and all, I thought it was candy.
Like, Brandy's team at this time was like top tier. Whoever was like behind her marketing her and like PRing her, they did a great job.
You'll like this. In December of 2012, Eddie Cibrian entered the chat and he started leaking emails of Brandy's to the public. And no. In one of the emails, it says, in addition to calling Leanne Rimes a country cunt,
I mean,
I'm dead. Brandy says that Brandy says that she also is addicted to laxatives and Adderall and much, much more. Brandy would soon delete the tweet and email and issue a sort of apology for posting it in the first place. So So Brandy admitted in her emails that she also was addicted to laxatives and Adderall, and that's why she knew that Leanne was. This is insane. I forgot. No wonder this was such a tabloid story.
Yeah, I'm like invested again now.
Me too. Oh my god, country cunt. You had me at country cunt. Like, say no more. Say lovey.
Well, I feel like Brandy is like one funny line from like Beverly Hills in her kind of like later stages was when she called Leanne a country music star.
Right.
And I was like, yes, get her.
Do you think that there's like a place for Brandy on the show still? Like, do you think that like that, like what happened with, do you think it's over?
I think she has been banished from the Bravo world forever. Although I want to say, like, just kind of heads up, I don't really keep up with Bravo tea or anything like that. I know that sounds stupid considering I run like a Bravo centric account,
right?
But I don't really like keep up with that kind of stuff because like A, I'm not that interested because most of it is just like clickbait these days.
Mm-hmm.
And B, I kind of just like don't care. I've moved past that. Like, I used to really be into tea when it was like juicy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I going with this? Why did I bring that up?
If you think Brandy has a place on TV.
Right. So I find she's just kind of, Andy was saying, this is what I was going for. Andy was saying recently that he was like just texting her or talking to her. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, if she's still texting with Andy and he's like publicly admitting that, I feel like she could be, I don't know, how would they usher her back in? You know what I mean? Because even this last year, I was like, why is she here? Like, she is literally like a pot plant brought in to like take down Denise because no one else wants to.
Right.
Like, that was it.
I think that the only way, actually, I really want to know your thoughts on this because this is like my Housewives theory. I think that the show, in order to survive in general, for like longevity, needs to break the fourth wall fully and not tease us with it.
Absolutely.
Like, I think
very like Teen Mom OG. Do you watch that?
Yes, that's exactly, okay. Like, that is the vibe. Like, that revived Teen Mom, completely reinvigorated the show and gave it another, what, 5, 6, 7 years, or however long that was ago.
Uh-huh. Like, my partner has never seen it before, so, like, this past winter, we binged all of Teen Mom OG.
Whoa.
And to watch it, like, consecutively from, like, I think it's, like, season 3 or 4 to 5, mm-hmm. when they break the fourth wall, it's like, this, like, gave this show a complete facelift. I know there was some time in between, too, so, like, mm-hmm. there was time to, like, have new storylines and stuff, but it just, it gave it more of, like, a real, fresh perspective.
Yeah. Totally. Yes,
I find all the franchises that like they're like trying to dip their toe into it, like, but not really, like not going all the way.
Yeah, like it's not enough at this point to watch Dorit respond to a question from a producer. Like, that's not like, I'm not like so riveted by that it's like, no, I want these people to talk about production. Like, I want them to talk about the fact that Brandy was brought in, like you said, to create a storyline for the fucking show. And like them acting like Brandy was just what driving past Kyle's house. I just honestly think it's insulting. I mean, like, the show's been on for so long, and I think because of Housewives, a lot of people can basically mentally produce a reality show. Like, we're all Absolutely. Kind of producers now. And it's like, we're beyond this. It's not 2010 anymore. And like, we're not dumb.
Yeah, Brandy's not like mic'd up, glammed up. Well, glammed up as much as Brandy can be.
Right. Right.
Like, she doesn't have a mic on. She's not glammed up, waiting in a car just because she's going out to dinner with Kim. Like
come the fuck on. Are uh-huh. you kidding me?
Like we know. You can just say, like, oh, Brandy's coming over. I know you haven't seen her in a while, but this is the tea. Like, that's all I needed.
Yeah, I don't need a weird, like, now why would Brandy be here? She's going to dinner in the neighborhood? Like, are you kidding?
Like, where does Brandy live? I know nothing about LA. I've been there one time. So, like, I feel like she would live in, like, Westlake or something.
Yeah.
Which is, I only know that because I feel like the Pretty Wild Girls live there. And I was like, this must not be very rich. Or, like, peak LA.
You're doing a Pretty Wild thing right now, aren't you?
I'm about to, and I need to talk to you after because I want you to come on if you can.
Okay, I would love to. No, I was talking to Russ about it actually yesterday.
Lizzie, who's going to produce the show for me and actually has Speakeasy Tattoo, like she's the owner of it, she yesterday messaged me and she was like, oh, Russ said that Troy would be awesome for this. And I was like, well, Troy, besides Alexis, is the only other person on my list of people to ask to come on. So I would be honored. I love that. Okay, cool. Maybe we can talk about it more offline.
Yeah, but for sure.
For everyone listening, in April, I'm going to be doing a live Twitch stream where we just watch along Pretty Wild. I'm really hoping, fingers crossed, to get Alexis, because I would love to just watch her watch it. And I am like a Alexis stan in 2021.
Yes.
So like I've listened to everything, like even like the Dirty podcast back in the day. Like,
oh my God.
So gross. But like, that's like just to get like an Alexis fix.
Totally.
I find her story so like riveting. And again, that's kind of when pop culture died for me, when she went away.
Yes.
Oh, but yeah, I'm trying to get her on, because she's said before, like, she's never actually watched the entire show. And as someone who's watched all 9 episodes, like, 30 times a year, I'm yeah. like, how can you... Well, I see why she wouldn't really want to, but, like, how can right. you not Ugh. Know what that's like? But yeah, so I can't wait to have you come on.
Oh my God, I would be honored. I didn't just, like, prematurely make you announce that, right? Is that okay?
Well, I'm just in the initial planning stages right now, but it okay. is like, it is happening in April. Like,
okay.
I have like my pitch and everything like done. I have like visual stuff done.
Cool. So, oh my God. That's so exciting.
Uh-huh. So if, yeah, we'll connect more okay. after. Cause like, I really want to have you on. Cause I love your episode with Brandon about Tess Taylor and Ryan Cabrera. Yeah. Not so much for like the romance aspect, because I feel like you like, barely touched on it because there's nothing to touch on, but yeah. more so just kind of like hearing two other people whose like brains I'm obsessed with talk about like my favorite pop culture moment, which is Pretty Wild. So,
oh my God, that's really exciting.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to have you like come on for maybe a couple episodes or I don't
as
know,
many
we'll figure
as
it out.
One. Oh my God.
Well, like honestly, I would just bring you on as a co-host if you're into that. But we
don't
can,
even
can,
don't can, even do that to me. No, we'll.
I'm not kidding.
Like I'm floating. I'm like fully floating off the ground. I'm like Storm right now from X-Men.
That's how I felt when you asked me to come on Dunzo. Because I was like, me?
Oh my God.
Do I know this who I am?
Are you?
Well, kidding? I listen to you every week. And like, I know this is kind of weird, but like, do you know how you like develop a relationship with a podcast in a sense? Like in my head, I'm like, oh, Troy is my friend. But in reality, I don't know you. I've never talked to you, I guess, face to face.
Yeah.
So now I'm just kind of like, oh, wow. Like, this is like, oh my God.
No, it's, so. I'd say this all the time. Podcasting is the most intimate thing there is because it's different than anything else, I think, because it is sort of like the mundane quality of just talking into a microphone and like being in people's cars and like when they're like going to class and like getting ready for work, like you're like a part of people's routine in a weird mm-hmm. way. Like it's really intimate. And I have that with so many people where I'm like, no, this person's been my friend for 5 years, like fully. And I don't fucking mm-hmm. know them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like I used to listen to a lot of podcasts going to work, but I have to take the subway and stuff. But when like the pandemic hit, I really kind of stopped because I was like, mm-hmm. I'm just sitting at home. Like, I don't really know when to fit this in. But then Stephanie, who is the host of The Real Housewives of Neopia, she always will name drop you. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get into this because like I'm obsessed with her too.
Yeah, she's the best.
And like the first episode of yours I heard, I'm like, wait, someone has like the same interests as me in 2020? Like, how?
Yeah. No, this is, oh, that's so exciting. Well, I'm really excited for everything that's going on. And yeah, we'll talk after.
Yeah. Cause it's going to be a lot of fun, like, regardless. Just cause like the show is like such a dumpster fire. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's such it's a dumpster fire, but it's like one of those great, and I feel like you'll get this, like, it's one of those great things where if you can watch it how you want to watch it, and you can watch it as a vapid, shallow, completely just like empty piece of shit, or you can watch it as this really deep, intense, like drama. Like, you know what I mean? It's like sort of how you come at it is how it presents itself.
Well, like, they're addicted and on heroin the whole time. Which, yeah. Like, I found out, like, a couple years after it and was just like, oh, okay, this all makes sense now. Like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's just, like, so much that goes into it that, like, people I don't think understand.
Yeah, agreed.
So, yeah, I could, like, do, like, a whole, like, PhD on Pretty Wild. Yeah. So sad, but... Yeah, Alexis, if you're listening, I am asking, I am believing, and hopefully receiving that you can bless Troy and I on an episode.
Alexis is an avid listener.
Is she?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I love that. We're going to pretend like she is. But, like, imagine watching her just, like, react to, not even, like, I don't even want her to see, like, the Nancy Joe stuff, because, like, I know she's seen that. She, like, recreates that. Like, mm-hmm. That's kind of her, like, niche now, like, hey, I'm a meme. Right. But I would love to see, like, her reaction to, like, watching the trailer and her making out with that Tyler guy, even though we never explored that, like, storyline, like, shit like that that no one really cares about except for me. I'm like, right. Please, Alexis, please answer these questions, like,
yeah. And just, like, seeing herself in, like, those versions of her relationships with her mom and her mm-hmm. sister, and it's just, it's so, oh, yeah. And those guys, those fucking boys.
Like I was actually on Spotify the other day trying to find Wicker, the band. They don't right. exist, so. But yeah, I really also want to ask Tess, but I feel like Tess is so beyond that. Like, I don't want to invade her privacy. Like, I don't know if you follow her on Instagram, but she's just pretty much like a mom. You know, she makes juices, loves to cook, and that's kind of it. So, like, I wouldn't want to invade her space. And I saw, like, the 10-year follow-up that they did, like the quick little family reunion, and she looks so uncomfortable the whole time. Like, you can tell Tess like closed that chapter of her life and has definitely moved on, although I think it would be wild to hear from her, because, like, I feel like a lot of the time the show was about Tess. So I feel like she did the pickup scenes when everyone else was just kind of like too fucked up too.
Right. She's like, well, I'm going today to talk to a pig psychic and I want to see what they think about, you know what I mean? And she's totally fucked up.
My mom emailing me.
Right. And yes, exactly. And then the B plot is like her like going to get her nipples pierced or something for like a fucking rave that they're going to.
Exactly.
That
yeah. And then plot C is like, oh, I'm also got this like gig to be a bikini model. And it's like, oh, okay. Right. Cool.
We've been asked to be Hawaiian tropics girls.
We're going to Cabo for Cabo Life magazine, and
what happens here stays here.
Well, I mean, so the really weird thing about Leanne and Leanne, Eddie, and Brandy is that, like, at a certain point, so it's been like 10 years since it's all sort of popped off, and then at a certain point, it's almost like they milked this for as long as they could until the public literally just didn't give a fuck anymore. Because if you think about it, we had been beat over the head with this story on Housewives. It was all over the news. Like, it was all over Twitter. It was in every magazine. And they really did it for as long as they could. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, we don't care anymore if you guys fight. Nobody gives a fuck if you're friends or if you're co-parenting. Like, literally nobody cares.
Like, figure it out. You're fucking adults. Like, get your shit together. Like, this is not healthy for any of you. Like, let's keep it pushing. Like, let's do something different to get a different outcome. Or just stop speaking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, cut these people out. You drop your sons off there and have your lawyer or a friend or, like, get, like, a babysitter or something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. Like, figure something out that, like, helps you not have to report to fucking Extra every time you guys have some sort of disagreement, because I don't care that she, you know, showed up 5 minutes late to this most recent karate practice and, you know, whatever. Nobody cares.
Once it kind of made its way into Housewives storylines, I was like, I'm over this.
So I found, like, an updated, like, what are they up to now moment. And... So I forgot that in 2014, Leanne and Eddie had a reality show. Do you remember that?
Yes, but again, that's just because, like, I said to you, like, I watched the, like, 2-minute clip from Beverly Hills where her and Kim Richards are watching it together. But I tried to, like, watch I tried to find an episode. Did it all air, or is it one of those shows that like aired two episodes and then was canceled, but like the episodes came out? Like, have you ever seen it?
I've never seen a single, I haven't even seen a clip of it at all.
I mean, like, even when I Googled it, there's like no articles about it. Like, you know how like usually there's like a vulture review of like mm-hmm. season one, episode one, and then it kind of dies after that because the show's trash?
Nothing. Right. Yeah, I've like even seeing a clip of them doing their confessional, like I've never seen this in my life. But of course they talked about making their family work on their show. And then things settled down. Like I said, Brandy went on and did Celebrity Big Brother. And then it, I guess, reignited in 2017 because there were, it says, a series of back and forth stalking allegations ensued after Glanville's explosive interview. She claimed that Sabrina and Rhyme showed up with her children while she was enjoying dinner with her then boyfriend Donald Fressy in Malibu. The actor called his ex's claim false in a statement to Us Weekly and defended his current wife as a fantastic stepmom. Like, see, even that, it's like, why are you releasing a statement saying that they showed up to dinner with your boy? Like, who gives a fuck? You guys are not like relevant enough to like for people to be like at every nipping at every single bit. You know what I mean?
Especially by 2017.
Right.
Brandy was like on her like WeTV reality tour. You know what I mean? Like taking any job she could get type thing. Like Family Boot Camp, sign me up.
Yes.
Like Fairy Cooking that. Show, I'm there. So like by that point she had kind of dried up too. I feel not dried up. That's really rude. Like I just feel like she kind of was like, I don't know, not hireable anymore. Even though she was cooking jobs, it's just kind of like odd jobs.
That was when she fully reached her Kendra Wilkinson. Like, I'll just do any. And like, I mean, WeTV Oxygen is the perfect description of like where people, you know, reality stars go to like just sort of be in like a limbo. You know, it's like,
and I feel like once you go on that, like, that's like, you're never going to be able to come back. Like,
mm-hmm. It's over.
Like, I saw Phaedra was on like Family Boot Camp or Couples something. I was like, oh, she's never coming back. Like, God. Bravo was like, ooh, WeTV on your resume? No thanks.
Do you remember when Alex and Simon were on that show? Were on Couples Therapy?
Yes. They're... I think that's the only season I've ever watched, to be honest. Oh, and like, so they didn't need to be there. They're so normal.
Are you kidding? They are the most normal. I'm like literally such an Alex and Simon stan.
Me too. I was listening to I Am Real when I was in the shower earlier.
I Am Real.
Like, I am a 2021 stan of them.
Yeah, they're so
normal.
They're
like such a beautiful couple and like get along and they're not toxic and yeah.
Yeah, they're not toxic at all. And I always loved that they were so progressive. Like the only person who didn't mind that he like wore like leather pants and liked to like dress up was her. Like everybody mm-hmm. else was so concerned about it. And like, they were just so ahead of their time. Like now they seem so normal, but back then they were like, so taboo. It's like, he wears red pants. Uh-huh. Aren't you like mortified?
Oh my God, is he gay?
Yeah, he has to be. So stupid.
No, baby. He just likes fashion.
Right. He's not like, I mean, not all of us can be fucking Mario.
Ugh.
Ugh, God.
I'm reading Ramona's book right now, and she's like detailing the divorce. So I really hate Mario.
Really?
As of today. Her book is actually well written. I know it's definitely ghostwritten, but it's pretty good.
Wait, can you tell me like a couple things that you've like discovered?
Well, I hate Avery just as much as I thought I did. But she's just like talking about his affair and stuff a lot more than I think I ever paid attention to.
Okay.
And kind of just like detailing how many times they broke up but got back together. And like just kind of what like a manipulative trash bag he is. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. She got back with him like way more times than I thought. Like I thought she caught him cheating and then like that was it. But like it happened a couple times and like Avery was involved, like giving him ultimatums, like you choose
us or
like Casey, the mistress, and like if you loved us, you wouldn't do it. it's just, yeah, it's just more interesting than I ever thought it would be. Really details like the abuse that she like saw when she grew up. Like the first chapter is like very detailed about how like her father like abused her mother and like all of the kids verbally. And I was like, ooh, like this is a lot more than we get on Housewives when she's just like flying out of a forest in a helicopter because she's like triggered.
Right. She's like, oh my God, I'm thinking of mud pies. We're in the woods. I'm thinking of mud pies. They're coming to my mind. Mud pies.
But yeah, she's able to find the words, or someone has, in this book. Don't buy it. Don't spend your money on it. But
right. Right, yeah. If it's on Audible, you can consider it already finished. Like, if there's an audio version of this book, consider it done. Honestly, I'm sorry, but it's true. I'm sorry.
Have you listened to Carol's book, What Remains, on Audible? If not, I highly recommend spending the, like, $14 or whatever.
Ooh, that's a good... No, I have not.
Because, like, you know how Carol kind of has, like, that lispy, uh-huh, my mouth isn't all the way open kind of voice? Like, it's just... It's so nice listening to her read the book.
Yeah, sort of gravelly. It's very, that's good ASMR.
Absolutely, yes. And it like tore me up inside. Like I was crying probably way more than I would have if I was just reading it on like a piece of paper.
Well, do you have any, I mean, I don't know if there's any like in 2018, they announced again that they're going to be friends. I don't know if I have any closing thoughts about Leanne and Brandy and Eddie. It's just such a tragically messy 2010-y kind of gig.
I feel like they'll milk this forever.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll ever be a moment when there is not like a hashtag link in bio kind of like clickbait article about them. I think that's what they've like resorted to now. Mm-hmm. But I don't see those going anywhere anytime soon, because like that's kind of what the three of them are known for at this point. Like, what's a quick way to get a buck? Oh, let's sell a story where we're, you know, feuding again.
Right.
But then it's like, how old are these boys now? Like, they must be...
Oh yeah, they're like full almost men now.
Yeah, so like, you know? They're probably at a point where they're like going to school and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like kind of moving out of the house, where I don't know if this dynamic would keep up.
Right.
I have no idea.
I guess time will tell.
Sadly, don't think, yeah, I don't think this is the last we'll ever hear of them.
Yeah, and I don't think Brandy will ever, Brandy is one of those, like you said, she's like a lifer. She's a reality TV lifer. It's like, this is the only way that she makes her money now, and it's not like Brandy is going to come out with some, you know, she got really lucky with that book. That was like an incredible moment for her, but like, she's not like business savvy. She's not going to like come out with some product that like changes the world, you know? Like, this is her job, is reality TV and sort of stooping to new lows.
Like a very specific role. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like a very like bone carrier, truth cannon, I know she likes to call herself, but like just kind of like that, like messy. Yeah, like she's only, she's kind of put herself in that corner to be like typecast on reality TV as like the one who has nothing to lose.
Right. And like having her shit together doesn't really play well to her career.
No.
By the way, as I'm on my Zoom background right now, like the picture behind me as we're having this conversation is Brandy falling towards a paparazzi camera and like about to grip the guy's camera to hold her up. And it looks like she's about to grip my shoulder.
It's so good. I feel like everyone knows this picture. I think she has like red polka dot shorts on it, if I remember correctly. And her legs look like just like two stilts that are about to fall in. Like such an iconic photo. It's like second best to her tampon string one, which I only think is funny because they brought it up at like a reunion once. And she like famously was like, at least I get my period still, bitch.
Right.
That's like, the best oh my part. God. That's it. That's it.
That's Brandy's essence in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Kai, thank you so much for doing this with me. This is exactly what I needed today.
A great way to start spring. I think today is the first day of spring. I know, I feel just like awakened and alive now that I've talked to you.
Well, tell people where they can find you on the internet and find your Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, I pretty much just exist on Instagram at The Real Housewives Orders. Don't forget the, I think a lot of people do sometimes and can't find me. And yeah, I pretty much live on Instagram. I have tried to tweet and stuff before, but like I tried to bring back my like 2010 Twitter and was like, I can't do this. I'm just like a Twitter lurker. Like I'm a stan Twitter member, but I just like to like things and then log off. So yeah, you can find me on Instagram and just like DM me if you, I don't know, feel the need to talk to me about something. And yeah, I'm very bad at plugging myself.
No, I'm the exact same way. I'm always like, what's my podcast called again? Like, I'm like terrible. Well, thank you so much. I'm obsessed with you. I'm going to continue lurking on your page and we'll talk. We will talk.
Yeah, we have lots of things to do now. Like, we've got together and like, I feel like you like me. So I'm like,
okay, I do.
I'm in. I'm in.
You're in. Now you're in. You know, it's a reoccurring. Now you'll be back a million times and it'll be a whole thing.
You know what? Like, if you ever want to talk about Housewives or Married to Medicine or just like reality TV in general, like I am a garbage, like a dumpster of just like trash TV. So
you're coming back from Married. Let's let Married to Medicine, like the season, breathe a little bit, and I'm gonna bring you back on for the show. I'm gonna bring you back. I love Married to Medicine.
Please.
Oh my
God. I loved your episode with Monty on Married to Medicine. I think I've listened to it like 2 or 3 times because like the two of you, I'm like, but before we go, are you missing Quad and Mariah this season, or is that just me?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like they're the heart, they are the spirit, they are the vibe of the show. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
They even like released the new theme song. Like Bravo put up a video today of the new theme song. And like, I love the theme song, it slaps. But even without like Quad and Mariah in it, I'm like, this doesn't feel whole. Like the song's missing something. And yeah, I hope they're doing great. I know Quad's still like a friend of, so we'll see her a lot, but I hope Mariah is, you know.
I love Mariah. We'll talk about it, but I'm a Mariah stan.
I'm a Mariah stan, yep.
Well, now paging Dr. Kai, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.